Last year, I came up to camp a couple of times, and one time was for the youth retreat. I drove a number of young people from our church here. And I was staying on this end of the camp while they were down at the other end, but I had opportunity to visit once in a while and in their meetings and speak to them one time. While I was here, I went to the library and I just looked around for, I figured I'll be here 3 days, I need a 3-day book. And so I looked for a book with not too many pages and preferably a lot of pictures. And I found this book about Reverend A.J. Wood. And I knew nothing about him prior to that, and found out that he was a Methodist minister that ministered in a number of different places in this general area, upper state New York and other places. I forget the year. I'd have to find that book again. I didn't write down what years he was alive and ministered, but he kept a diary. He wrote down different events and experiences that he had, and he really had a wonderful, wonderful relationship with the Lord and a walk with God, and he was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. He believed in the second blessing, total sanctification, as the Methodists put it back then. And there was one chapter in the book that I had to copy, and I've passed it out to some people since then. It's entitled Results of the Cleansing Baptism by Reverend A.J. Wood. And he wrote down 8 things that he experienced as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And usually when you hear about the results of the baptism, people will talk about gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and so on. And certainly those are evidences of God's wonderful working in our life, and they shouldn't be minimized at all. But his emphasis was a bit deeper than that. And as I read these things, I thought, those are the things that we've heard over the years, and they're expressed so beautifully here to me. And so I typed them out, and I put one in my Bible, and when I would go to prayer, I would open it up, and I'd pray over each of those things that are mentioned here, that as a result of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that God would work more perfectly along these lines in my life. I'm going to give every one of you a copy tonight, and I want to just take a moment to look at it with you. I want you to keep it, tuck it away in your Bible as well, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as you spend time in prayer, not only tonight, but as you go back home, look at it once in a while, pray over it, and everything here is based on teaching from the Bible. Everything is scriptural. You'll recognize that. And as we understand what God is after when he fills us with the Holy Spirit, we can better cooperate with him to allow him to develop that in us. We don't get everything at our initial baptism, but that's an open door. A new work begins in our life. And as we continue to yield ourselves to God and receive richer infillings, we're going to experience each of these things in a greater measure. And so I need my son, Kenneth. Can you pass some of these out? I was looking in the library for that book again before meeting, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. I hope it found its way back there. I had lent it out. I imagine it will somewhere along the way. Reverend A.J. Wood. The first thing that he says that he experienced as a result of the Spirit's baptism is a sacred nearness to God, my Savior. Haven't we heard that over the years, that the baptism in the Holy Spirit brings us into a more intimate relationship with Jesus, makes his presence more precious and real in our lives? And he says, the distance between God and my soul has appeared annihilated, and the glory and presence of divinity have often appeared like a flood of sunlight, surrounding and pervading my whole being. Thank you, John. Certainly that's something that God wants to accomplish when he fills us with his Spirit. He wants to bring Jesus near to us, nearer than we have ever experienced him to be. And he wants to help us to maintain that sense of his presence, that confidence in his indwelling, in his nearness. And I like the way he expresses that. The distance between my soul and God appeared to be annihilated, and I was brought right into the presence of God himself. Praise God. We've all experienced touches of God's presence. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God does something in your soul to establish you in that relationship. Who wouldn't here want to be more closer to Jesus, drawn more close to him, to sense his presence more intimately and constantly? And so that's something that we can believe God for as we yield ourselves to the working of his Spirit. Number two says, a sense of inexpressible sweetness in Christ. The fact that he is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the brightness of his Father's glory, has at times filled my soul with ecstatic rapture. Jesus became so sweet to him. We talked this morning about the beauty of Jesus, that God wants to open our eyes and make us to see how beautiful Jesus is. The Holy Spirit wants to make Jesus attractive to us, more attractive than anything that the world has to offer us. All of its glories, God wants to outshine them as we look into the face of Jesus. And that's exactly what's being expressed here too, isn't it? Jesus becomes more precious to us. We fall in love with Jesus. I've often said that I met Jesus at home in church, but I fell in love with Jesus at Pilgrim Camp. Something happened as I opened my heart to God's working here in this place. And again, it's not limited to camp. The Holy Spirit is with us everywhere, and we can learn to open our souls to him. And so Jesus wants to make himself more sweet, more precious, make us to see how beautiful he is, and attract us to himself in a more powerful way. And that's the answer to dealing with the world. Oh, take the world, but give me Jesus. I'm not interested in the world. The world is crucified to me. I'm crucified to the world. And Jesus is my all in all. And we've experienced that too. But Jesus wants to do something deeper along those lines. A deep realizing sense of spiritual things. Bible truth has appeared transformed into solid realities. The doctrines of the gospel become to me tangible facts. In other words, spiritual things become more real to us. The spiritual realm opens up to us somehow. And these truths in the Bible have a greater impact upon our lives, a greater influence over us. They're powerfully real in a way that they have never been before. You come into a meeting and you begin to sense God's presence in a very real way. You hear his voice speak to you, maybe not audibly, most likely not, but you know that the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and meeting your need, and the grace of God is filling your life, his peace, his comfort, his joy, all these things that he has provided for us in Christ become more real to us and a part of our everyday living. Number four is good, a surprising richness and fullness of meaning in the scriptures, which I had not before realized. Many portions of the Bible, which I had hitherto but little understood, now appeared full of meaning and exceedingly precious. Many people have testified of that, that once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible became alive to them. God began to open their understanding, and as they looked at passages that they had read maybe many times before, they began to get a sense of what God was really saying to their soul and how it applied to their life. God wants to speak to us through his word, and he wants the Holy Spirit. He uses the Holy Spirit to open these truths to us and make them exceedingly precious. And we find You know, people talk about new things that God does for them. What new thing has God done in your life? And people try to think of some new thing that God has done. But I find that the new things that God does in my life is that he takes the old things and he makes them new. He makes them alive. He gives me new appreciation, new insight into these wonderful truths that I find in the Bible. Praise God. Have you ever opened the Bible and you just sense that God is ministering to you? He's speaking to you. Maybe he stops you at a passage, or maybe one verse, or maybe a couple of words. And you know that God is impressing something upon your heart, and you just feed upon that, and your soul is fed. Praise God. And so God wants to open the Bible to us. And the things that are important to him, he wants to make important to us. Number five, a triumph over temptation, more complete and habitual. Well, that's something we all need, isn't it? After the baptism, I found no elements in my heart siding with the tempter. Before, I was conscious of inward affinities which sided with the tempter. There's a new inclination to live a holy life. There's desire to please Jesus and distaste for the things of the world, the flesh, the devil, begins to rise up within us. And we recognize that Christ has power to set us free and to enable us to live that holy life that we read about, that it can be a reality in our life, and we begin to desire that more than anything else. And here A.J. Wood expressed that he saw a change in the whole attitude of his heart towards sin, and he wanted no part in it. Sin became exceedingly sinful to him, and the holiness and righteousness of Christ became a passion to pursue. Praise God. And he found that God was helping him to come into that. Number six is a great increase in spiritual power. This I realized in my closet devotions, in my pastoral duties, and especially in the pulpit, in presenting the blessed truth of God. I learned by experience that man may receive the Holy Spirit in measure limited only by his capacity to receive and feeble ability to endure him. What does that mean? Well, we all understand there was an increase in spiritual power. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He felt it as he went to prayer. He felt the unction of the Holy Ghost come upon him, the anointing that helped him in prayer and in seeking God. We all need that. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God strengthens us, gives us a seeking spirit, does something in us to help us to reach out to God and to touch him more effectively. And then he talks here about as he preached, he sensed the anointing as he attended to his pastoral duties. I'm sure that had to do with visiting the sick. If he's anything like me, it has to do with cleaning the church and setting up the chairs. That's all part of pastoral duties. And he sensed an anointing that God just blessed him and flowed through him and made his ministry more effective as he gave himself to serving others in the ministry. And then he mentions here also that as he presented the truth of God's word, there too he sensed the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power of God. As he spoke, he knew that God was speaking through him, that God was giving him the word at times, and he sensed that he was just a mouthpiece and that God was using him as his instrument. Every minister needs that. How we depend upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It has to be, or there's nothing that's going to be accomplished. Number seven, a clear and distinct witness of purity through the blood of Christ. The testimony of the Holy Spirit and of my spirit to the entire sanctification of my soul became more clear and convincing than any I ever had of my regeneration, although I had no doubt of that years before. It's interesting. If you pause in the right places, you have no idea what you read. but I think I got the sense of that now. He talks about that he sensed the cleansing that had come into his life, a purity that had come into his heart. And he said, I had some of that, of course, when I first got saved, but now it was more rich and full and complete than I had ever known before. And I knew that God had cleansed my heart. I'm sure there was the power of God to set him free from the flesh and habits and so on, weaknesses that kept him from glorifying God in his life. Oh, the power of the blood of Jesus was revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. Oh, we have yet to experience the greatness of that power in our lives. We thank God for all that we have entered into as a result of coming under the blood and claiming his forgiveness and claiming the cleansing and the sanctifying work of his Spirit and his blood. But as we're filled with the Spirit more and more, God deepens that work and strengthens it in our lives. And then it wouldn't be complete without number 8, would it? A disposition to tell the blessed story of Christ and his great salvation. I longed for 1,000 tongues to publish the glad tidings to perishing men. God gave him a burden for souls and a boldness, a compassion and a boldness to share the gospel with those that were lost. 1,000 tongues. You couldn't fit 1,000 tongues in your mouth, and that's not what he's talking about. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Tongues speaks of languages, right? Different tongues in different lands. And he just wanted to be able to give full and complete and glorious expression to this wonderful salvation that he had experienced and that God offers to others. Can we all feel our need of a greater burden for souls? You know, sometimes in Canarsie people say, oh, I wish we had some more people here, and maybe this person left or that family moved away, and they're concerned that we have some empty pews. And I thought about that, and I said, why are we concerned about how many people we have in our church? What's that all about? We want to say that we go to a big church? We want to say that we go to a happening church? A successful church? I mean, is that why we're concerned about having people come to the church? Having the church grow? Or is it because we really are burdened for souls and we want the lost to come and experience what we are enjoying of the salvation that Jesus has provided? You know, there's a difference. If you just want to fill the church, there's ways to do that. Pancakes help, and spaghetti dinners. But if you're really concerned about souls, well, there are ways to get to God and to get filled with his Spirit and get the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life and then go out and be the witness that God wants you to be, to weep over souls and to call upon God and to let God use you along those lines. And so I thought that these things were very good. I thought that they underscored things that we have heard over the years. I was very pleased that the emphasis was not on gifts and powers necessarily, but there's an inner emphasis here. It has to do with nearness to Jesus, the sweetness of Jesus. It has to do with the Word of God opening up to us. It has to do with cleansing and the power of the blood being revealed. It has to do with burden for souls and just living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and just being delivered from the flesh and the natural and having a heart that is always reaching out to God and always receiving from him. Praise God. And the people that have been filled with the Spirit have, as I say, testified along these lines. Maybe one thing has become more real to them than another, but all of these things God wants to produce in us. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit opens the way for God to accomplish this in our souls. And I'm sure that this isn't complete, that there are other things that God wants to do for us as we are more and more filled with his Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:18. But be filled, continually be filled with the Spirit. You're not just baptized in the Spirit one time and then you got everything. But we find that God often comes and pours out his Spirit upon a meeting, pours out his Spirit upon an individual, and there are richer infillings, new infillings, fresh infillings, larger infillings that God wants to give us. I remember when I moved up to Pilgrim Camp and Brother Gardner started talking about people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit until I talked to Brother Gardner. And I heard about these people that experienced these things in such power and such glory. And I said, well, I spoke in tongues and Jesus came to me, but I don't have anything like what you're talking about. I remember I spoke to him in his room up there in where Tom lives. And he said, Kenny, he said, you have been filled with, there is, he believed that I had been filled with the Holy Spirit, but he said, but God has a much larger infilling for you. And so don't deny what God has done for you. Thank him for it. And make use of what God has done for you to help you to seek him and yield yourself to him. But God wants to do much more for you. He's got richer infillings and larger experiences ahead for you if you'll seek him and really give yourself to pursuing him in his fullness. And that was such an encouragement to me. I walked into that room so discouraged, and then I walked out and thought, well, there's hope for me yet. Jesus has begun a good work, and he promised that he would bring that to perfection. He would watch over his work, and he would develop it in my soul. And so that's the very reason he started something in me, is so that he could finish it up. And I'm still working on that with him, right? Aren't we all? But every year becomes more precious. Every month, every week sometimes every day, more precious with Jesus. And so I just wonder, as you look at this list, can you say, yes, well, that's true in my life. Jesus has been making himself more precious to me while I've been here at camp seeking his infilling and his fresh anointing upon my life. And maybe you say, yes, it's true. The Word of God has been speaking to me in ways that I had never considered it before. God's helping me to understand things that were foreign to me. Maybe you're finding that there's a desire in you to be clean and to be pure and to be holy, and that the world is becoming distasteful to you and empty and a disappointment, and the kingdom of God and holiness and righteousness is just gripping your heart and becoming of greater interest and concern. And again, we can go right down the list. Maybe you said, it's true. I've become so concerned for certain individuals, for their soul. I used to be angry with them, and now I feel bad for them. My heart goes out to them. I see how miserable they are without the Savior, and I'm praying that God will reveal himself to them, and I'm wanting God to use me if he chooses to speak for him, to shine for him. Let them see a difference in me, and help me not to be ashamed to share the gospel. And so I thought these would be some good things for us to pray about. Maybe as we pray tonight, among other things, someone wants to take one of these and say, Lord, do this for me. Make Jesus more real to me. Lord, we need that. I need that in my soul. And as you call on God, we'll all agree with you because we all need it. And whatever else God may put upon your heart. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. How precious is this Holy Spirit. There's no Christian life apart from him. And God has given us the greatest gift that he could ever give us. First, he gave us his Son to die on Calvary. But then he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost so that Jesus could live in us and we could be united to him and reflect his glory in our everyday living in this dark and sinful world. Praise God. Let's sing another song, and then we'll go to prayer. I think it's good if we all pray together tonight, particularly over these things. And we'll go to about 9:45 officially, and then if anyone wants to stay longer, you're welcome to do so also. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing Breathe on Me, Breath of God. That's another song that expresses so well what we're talking about tonight. Number 114. Call upon God tonight, wait upon God tonight, let the Lord use you, lift your voice so everyone can hear. Take the chair out of your mouth and lift your head and call upon God. And if God would lead you to pray with someone, I prefer the men to pray with the men and the ladies to pray with the ladies, but if God puts that upon your heart, you want to pray together, that's a good thing. Praise God. Let's just be a blessing one to another. And let's believe, no matter what you feel tonight, God draws near to those that draw near to Him. And when we pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're praying according to the will of God. And we know that He hears us. And we know that we have the petition that we've desired of Him. And so God is going to work. He is working. And we must receive that by faith and thank Him for it and just give Him opportunity. He honors the time that we give Him. So let's give Him this time and know that He will respond. Okay, let's go to prayer.